Everybody say, this is my Bible. Say, I am what it says I am.
I can do
what it says I can do. Now boldly say, I am a believer, not a doubter.
I am a doer,
not just a hearer.
And my life
is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right. Well, I am excited to continue in our series on grace to reign in life. Go with me to Philippians, the first chapter and the second verse. And we're really pushing point number two, which is grace is confirmed through partnership. Grace is confirmed through partnership. Philippians 1 and 2, there it is on the screen. It says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul now is writing to the church at Philippi. And when you begin to understand what Paul is doing, he is writing letters to his partners. That is exactly what he's doing. He's writing letters to his partners, those that partner with him in the gospel, those that partner with him in ministry. And so even when he left, he still communicated with them. He'd come back every once in a while. But one thing he always did was he wrote letters to his partners. And he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. So we see that there's a relationship, there's a partnership. He says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul is saying, I know God started something in you, and what he started in you, he's going to complete in you. And so let's keep reading. He says, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because watch this, there's a relationship. I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Watch what Paul tells the partners who were connected to him in ministry. He says, ye all are partakers of my grace. And so we see, everybody say, grace connections. We see that there is a such thing as a grace connection, that these people got connected with Paul. You got it? And Paul told them that you are a partaker of my grace, that the same anointing, the same grace, the same ability that's on my life, it is on your life. And we're going to see through the scripture that this grace connection, it's shown all through scripture. Matter of fact, I'll talk to you about it a little bit later, but how many know the disciples would not have been who they were without Jesus? Am I right about it? How many know that Timothy would not have been the man he was without Paul in his life? How many know that Elisha would have not been the man of God he was without Elijah in his life? That Joshua would have not been the man of God he was without Moses? So we see that this grace connection thing is not just a game. It's not something that, you know, is funny. There is a truth to it. And put up my definition for grace before I, because I'm jumping right into my lesson. But let me make sure I give you a little bit of the review. Now we said that grace is the unmerited favor of God, the unearned provision of God, and the unrestricted power of God made available to man to bring victory in life situations. And so we understand it is the unmerited favor. I didn't deserve it, but God in his goodness wanted me to have it. It is the unearned provision of God. There are some things that God did for me. I didn't earn it, but he wanted me to have it. And this, the unrestricted power of God, there is a power that's available to me. There is an anointing that is available to me to do what, Pastor? To bring victory in life situations. And it is the will of God for you in life to overcome every situation and live a victorious life. It's the ultimate desire that you overcome every situation and that you live a victorious life. He came that you might have and have it. Right. He wants you to live the abundant life. Now, we said on Tuesday night that there were five ways to scripturally access this grace. There are five ways to scripturally access this grace. Number one, we said it was through prayer that you come boldly before the throne of grace. Number two, it was through humility that he gives more grace. And of course, you can go, if you weren't here on Tuesday night, if you go to the website, everything I teach is on there, absolutely free. And if you're part of our text blast, and if you're not, you can connect with us by texting the word favor, F-A-V-O-R, to the number 292929. And then whatever I teach on Sunday, it'll come to you Sunday afternoon. Whatever I teach on Tuesday night, it'll come to you Wednesday morning, absolutely free. And so, because everybody say he's just reviewing. All right, so through prayer, through humility, through faith, through offering. That's where we stop on Tuesday night. And then through partnership. Partnership. Now, I told you that there were 3 points throughout this lesson that we would stick with. 3 points throughout this lesson that we would stick with. And those points are, number one, that grace is critical to your potential. Grace is critical to your potential. Number two, grace is confirmed through partnership. And number three, grace is conveyed through persistence. And so we talked about potential, and we said that you would never reach your full potential, you got it, without having a revelation on grace. You have to have a revelation on grace, because if not, you know, you go through something, you'll make a mistake, and you'll think God's mad at you for the rest of your life. And the Bible teaches us that if our heart condemns us, we have no confidence or no faith toward God. And so I have to know that God is a God of grace, that God loves me, that God's not mad at me, you got it. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we get hung up over something we did last year that we asked God to forgive us from, and we moved on. But what happens, we let the enemy come in and say, remind you of your past. You understand? And you have to understand that I serve a God of grace that gives me a brand new day, and he gives me brand new mercies, that he's never going to leave me, he's never going to forsake me, that he's going to be with me till the end, and that there's a grace that's available to come on me to do what I cannot do, to give me an advantage position in life. Does that make sense? All right, y'all here? Okay, praise the Lord. Y'all did this to me last week. All right, so let's talk about partnership. Let's talk about partnership. God sent me, talking about James McIver, to New Bern to help people live a better life. That's the bottom line. God sent me to New Bern to help people live a better life. You know my story. Come to New Bern, just me, my wife, my brother and his wife, just 4 adults and our children. And the Lord told me, if you will teach the word in a simplistic manner where people can apply it, he said, people will come from the north, the south, the east, and the west. He said, and if they apply the word of God in their life, that they will live a better life. And that's why, amen. And so, praise God. And so that is why our vision is pointing you to Christ so you can live a better life. Because we understand that to the degree that we point you to Jesus, you got it, who is the word, you got it, and we point you to the word, that if you apply this word in your life, that you are going to live a better life. And you've got to understand that God wants you to live a better life, and he's going to do everything he can and put everything in place for you to live a better life. But how many know you have to want to live a better life? Yeah. Isn't that right? You have to want to live a better life. All right. So now when I'm going to talk about me for a little bit, and I'm not big on talking about me because I'm not a prideful guy or a puffed up guy, but for the context of this lesson, it is important because we're talking about grace connections. When you come and you partner with this church, you get connected with my wife and I, and there's an undeniable grace that is on our life that we walk in. You got it? And the same grace to the degree that you partner with us, and a partner is someone that gives of their self, their service, and their substance with no hidden agenda. To the degree that you partner with us in ministry, there's a grace that's on our life that gets on your life that accelerates some things, calls you to do some things without having to go through some things because you're a man and woman of God already did. Does that make sense? So, all right, so let's kind of, and I am where I am today because I operate this principle. Like, I operate this principle to this day. Remember when my man of God was here, was it last Tuesday or a couple Tuesdays ago? Sometime recently, Tuesday before last. And remember we had service on Tuesday night and that kind of thing? Well, because you all know I'm always traveling, always gone. Some people don't know that because I'm typically gone Wednesday through Saturday. And so, on Tuesday night, I left with my man of God. I got on the jet with him. We flew to another city because he was here. Then it was another city. Then we had to fly to another city. You know, and he typically... that's 3 or 4 a week, and a lot of times I go. He said, well, Pastor, you get an opportunity to teach? No. So why you go if you don't get an opportunity to teach? Because I'm serving my man of God. You got it. And so, you know, when we got there, made sure that they were good and got in the car, and then I go to the back of the jet, and I pull off, the product for that night, and I pull, get his bags and luggage and everything, and then we go do the service. It's an incredible night, and after that, we go to whatever hotel we're staying, and we unload the thing, and we get everything, and I make sure that he's good for that night. What am I doing? I'm serving my man of God because I understand a principle that I have not forgotten, that to the degree that, that I serve and I sacrifice, that it will set forth the supernatural power of God in my life. And most people don't understand that I live the way I live, and the grace is on my life, not because of this moment that you see, but because of all the other moments that I serve along the way. And you've got to get that and understand that that it's the will of God for you to serve in your local church. Everybody say, it's the will of God for me to serve in my local church. All right, so I served, I sowed, and I sacrificed, and I saw the supernatural. Now, let me show you something in Philippians, the fourth chapter. So we started this in these letters, but let's continue to read this. Philippians, the fourth chapter, and the 13th verse. Philippians, the fourth chapter, and the 13th verse. Watch what Paul says. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthen me. Notwithstanding, ye have done well. Ye did communicate, and you're going to learn that that word communicate, he's talking about contributing to his financial support. He says, ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving. So we see, but ye only. So we see, he says, nobody communicated with me. Nobody gave me any offerings and this kind of thing. He said it was you and me. And when he talks about giving and receiving, some people don't understand that. But Paul says, I have sown spiritual things and it has changed your life. And so since I have sown spiritual things, is it that much of a problem that you would sow your carnal things? All right. And so he says, I communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Watch what verse 17 says. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. You know, I made this comment. I've made it different places, different times, you know, and I tell people, you know, I'm a big blessing to my man of God, you know, and I, you know, I told him, I said, I give him a lot of money. And people are like, that's crazy. He don't need money. It's not about what he needs. It's about what I need. I understand that there's a grace that's on his life, and that's one way I can tap into it. Does that make sense? All right. So he says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I, because Paul said, I have all, I abound, I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things that were sent to you, sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice. A what class? It's the will of God that we sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. How many know anytime we give, you got it, anytime we give, it should be well-pleasing to God. Isn't that right? So let me ask you something. If you made $2,000 this week, what is your tithe? $200, right? So if, watch this, if you gave $199, guess what? It is not well-pleasing to God. Because a tithe is a tenth, and $199, it just won't do. Does that make sense? Not if I want to access. Some of y'all got it. Some of y'all didn't. 99 and a half just won't do. You got it. And so some of you all have to understand that if I'm going to access this grace by faith, that I've got to apply the principle that God set forth in his word. Can I get up?
Amen.
All right. Watch this. So now, verse 19, I love. He is talking to those that have sowed into the ministry a well-pleasing, because a lot of times people quote this, and the only way you can quote this is if you're a giver. What did I just say? Yeah. I know y'all quiet, but see, I knew that this was going to be one of them kind of lessons. That's why I told the visitor, it's going to be one of them kind of lessons. But the thing about me, I always prepare. So I brought amens with me this morning when I got here. Amen, Pastor.
Glory to God, son. That's good.
All right. Verse 19. Paul tells the people that sow into his life and ministry, but my God shall supply your need. Okay, there you go. Shoot me down when I ain't teaching right. That's right. Don't be scared to teach the preacher down. If he ain't teaching right, you need to say something. Isn't that right? He didn't say, I'm going to supply your need. He said, I'm going to supply all your need. Watch this. And it's not according to your riches. It's according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How many know that the earth belongs to God? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell within. The cattle is his, the silver is his, and the gold. Everything belonged to Jesus. All right? So now, go with me to 2 Corinthians 12. So pastor has to teach about grace connections. And pastor has to teach about partnership. Because if pastor doesn't teach about grace connections, and if pastor doesn't teach about partnership, it'll make you inferior. Let me show you. Let's take three sections in the church. We're all one body. We know that. But just for the context of this lesson, let's say we're three sections. So if I teach this section over here how to give, you got it, and how to be a partner, how to give of yourself, your service, and yourself. You come, your partner, you say, man, that's it. I'm getting with the vision. I want to help people live a better life. Pastor, I'm going to join the dream team, and I'm giving them my tithes and offering. Anytime you need me, Pastor, I'm there. That's what a partner is. So if I teach you how to do that, how many of you going to prosper? Okay, I'm talking to y'all. How many of y'all going to prosper? Right. All right. Y'all so quiet today. I can't wait to talk to the ladies. She's going to have, I was like, babe, it was great, but they was quiet again. Y'all stayed up too late last night. I know what it was. Okay. So if I teach you all how to be a partner, you got it, and you're like, man, that's it. I'm trying to impact people's lives in an amazing way. Pastor, I'm all in. You got it. I'm going to join the dream team. I'm going to give up my tithes and my offering. You know, Pastor, if you need me, just let me know. I'm a phone call away. If you start doing that, how many of you are going to prosper? Okay, there you go. Okay, all right. I like it. Watch this. If I don't teach you and I give you a pass and I say, and not that this is y'all, this is just an example. I can tell they don't really want to hear this, so I'm just going to talk about something different. They're going to prosper and they're going to prosper, but you're not going to prosper, and that makes you inferior because you don't understand why do I see the blessings flowing in their life, but I don't see the blessings flowing in my life. Does that make sense? No, I'm going to show it to you in Scripture. I'm going to show it to 2 Corinthians 12. That's why, you know, a lot of pastors, they don't like it because, you know, you get flack whenever you talk on giving. See, my thing is, I don't care about that because I know this works. You understand? So that don't bother me. People, this right here, what I'm teaching you, this works. And at the same time, giving is not what? And I've been in this city almost 11 years, and not one time have you ever seen a game played in Without Limits Christian Center, because we understand that giving is not a game, but it is God's plan to prosper your life, all right? So watch this. So Paul is, now you can read the whole thing if you want. I'm just taking you to this part. So Paul's laying his case. He says, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. And so he said, you see the manifestation of my ministry. You see the miracles. You see, you know, your life is getting better. Watch what he says. He says, For what is it wherein ye were, what's that next word, class? Inferior to who? Other churches. He said, you were inferior to other churches, except that I myself was not burdensome to you. He's talking about giving and receiving. I'm going to show you in a minute. What's the next part he says? Forgive me this wrong. He said, because that's my bad. All right, let's go to the Amplified. He says, the signs that indicate a genuine apostle were performed among you fully and most patiently. Signs and wonders and miracles. And I told the 9 o'clock that's something we've seen. You've seen your life get better. We've seen miracles in this church. You understand what I'm saying? We've seen all kinds. Of course, Margaret was here, so I always like to use her because she came rolling in a wheelchair. And the doctors didn't have no answer, but Jesus had an answer. That's a good place to clap right there. How many know he is a healer? Yes. And that's why you have to understand, in the redemptive work of Christ, salvation was made for us. But not only was salvation made for us, healing was made for us. Jesus took 39 stripes, and because of those stripes, we are already healed. And not only was healing made for us, you got it, but provision or prosperity was made for us. He became poor that through his poverty, we might be rich. The word rich just means abundantly supplied. And it's the will of God for you to be abundantly supplied, because it's the only way you can be a blessing to somebody else. My wife and I give every week above our tithes and offering to somebody else. Every week. We're going to bless somebody some kind of way. God always does it. Sometimes it's Friday, and I'm thinking, you know, because I don't force it. You got it? Because I'm led by the Spirit when I give. What do you mean? Because if I just say, I'm going to give to anybody, when you can have 100 people call you and ask you for money. You got it? And then if they know you're going to give it to you, guess what? They're going to call next week, and they're going to call the week after that. Yeah, I can say I was real naive in the beginning. You got it? And so in the beginning of the ministry, of course, the church didn't have any money. My wife and I, praise God, we were able to fund it in the beginning. The first day before our services ever started, those few months, we spent like $37,000. We didn't loan it to the church. We gave it to the church because we said this is going to be a seed that will secure our future. You understand? So like Pastor didn't come to town broke looking for somebody to help him out. Does that make sense? And so, okay, so what happened? Let me read the scripture. All right. All right. Yeah, no, 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 no. All right. I'm going to go to verse 13. For, in what respect were you treated as, what's that word?
Inferior.
Inferior to the rest of the churches, except for the fact that I did not burden you with what? My financial support. I didn't teach you how to give. He says, forgive me for doing you this injustice. So if I teach you and I teach you how to be a partner, but I don't teach you how to be a partner, you're going to blossom. You're going to grow because the Bible says that that's what's going to happen. But watch this. But if I don't teach you, watch this, then you don't get a revelation on it. You don't know what to do. And you're wondering why they're growing and they're growing. But because you never heard the word on it so you could apply faith so you could see it come to pass in your life. Does that make sense? Whew, give the Lord a big hand praise. Okay. I like to tell people who don't know me, they think I'm an overnight success. I tell them it was a long night. Because lady's father, Pastor Taylor, he just three influential men, three mentors, three fathers in the faith that I have. Everybody doesn't, I think because I'm a pastor, that's why I need it, because there's different graces on all their lives. The Bible says we don't have many fathers. So everybody can't be your mother in the faith. Everybody can't be your father in the faith and that kind of thing. And I don't believe that that's something that me or anybody else should put on you. That's something that God puts in your heart. Like Pastor Taylor, I know he's my father in the faith. He didn't tell me that, God told me. Does that make sense? You got it. And so it's my father, Bishop McIver, my pastor, Pastor Taylor, and an Apostle Hilliard, my father in the faith. Those are the three men of God that are in my life, and all three of them I've served at some time in life. When I came into the Marine Corps in 1995, I went to Marine Corps boot camp, and then I got stationed at Camp Lejeune, and then, you know, one of the first things I had to do was make sure I found the church. And so found Word of Life, a little small building on Piney Green Road, and I went there. I liked it, and I never went and checked out another church or anything. I just knew that that's where God wanted me to be. And so I served my man of God faithfully, really for almost 13 years. And I know, watch this, because I served, because I sold, you got it, and because I sacrificed, I saw the supernatural power of God come on my life. I saw an ability for me to do what I normally could not do come on my life. I saw some incredible things. Listen, you couldn't beat me to church. Like, the way I got a key was because not only did we have Sunday morning service, but we had Sunday night service. See, y'all don't know nothing about Sunday night service. Yeah. And well, some of y'all do, that's right. But at least without limits, you don't know anything about Sunday night service. Imagine we started saying next week, now I can only say this because the lady's not here, because she'd be like, don't even bring it up. Don't let it out your mouth. We said, we're going to meet every Sunday night at 7 p.m. Woo, boy, y'all be struggling to get back. But I was always, y'all know I'm telling the truth. You play me if you want to. Yeah. Yes, you better tell the truth. Some of you are like, we better speak up just so Pastor don't think. Don't worry. Don't worry. I told him someone said, will we ever have Sunday night service? I said, not as long as I'm the pastor. You know, I mean, let Jesus tell me. And then if he tell me, he got to show me his driver's license ID so I know it's really him. You understand what I'm saying? All right. So most people think I'm an overnight success. I tell them it was a long night. I served my man of God faithfully. You got it, for 12 or 13 years. And my man of God, he was old school. You got it. He was old, and I needed that in my life, so I'm okay with that. You know, because you know he believed you should come to church on Sunday. You know, even if you're on vacation, you should come to church on Sunday. So if you tell him, you know, Pastor, I'm gonna be on a 7-day vacation, on a 7-day cruise. 7 days means Sunday is included in them. Saying, okay, no problem. I'll see you on Sunday. I'm like, okay, Pastor, but I just, okay, yes, sir. You understand what I'm saying? And so because I knew how it was, I just didn't miss many Sundays. That's not for y'all. That's nothing I'm putting on y'all. If you want to go see Mickey, go see Mickey. You understand? And so I remember him having to go preach at some other churches on Sundays. It wasn't very often. He didn't do it much. And he gave me the opportunity to, you know, to be the one to teach when he was gone and those kind of things. And I always did everything just as if he was there. I didn't get up and try to showboat. I didn't get up and try to, you know what I'm saying? Whatever the order of the house was is what we always did. I didn't get up saying, well, I think I feel a shift in the spirit. No, ain't no shift in the spirit. Something wrong with your spirit, but ain't no shift in the spirit. You got it? And so, I remember I preached one Sunday, both services, you know, all the services went good and everything. And this guy, I remember him this day, he came to me, he's like, wow. He had a bald head, so he'd like rub his head. He's like, wow, man, that was amazing. Watch out for people that try to puff you up. You got it? And he's like, what are you doing here? And I'm like, well, this is my church. What you mean while I'm doing it? No, man, you ought to be having your own church. You got it? And so I learned something that my father in the faith taught me. If you make a blessing, you will miss a blessing, and the one you miss will be greater than the one you made. Now, he told me that. Amen. Had I listened to him, I would have came to New Bern 8 years too early. And guess what? Nothing would have happened. I'd have came and set everything up, and nobody would have come. Why? Because God didn't tell me to come. Or I didn't have, you understand what I'm saying? But man told me to come, so don't move based on man. Everybody say, don't move. Based on man. No, you know what's in your heart. That's why I taught you how to hear the voice of God for yourself. Okay, I got to get through it. Let's push partnership a little bit more. Can we talk about a partner? Yeah. All right, let's talk about a partner. Did you know that everybody who is a member is not a partner? Yeah. Really and truly, the enemy doesn't even mind you being a member of this church. He just doesn't want you to be a partner because he understands what happens and the spiritual significance that takes place when you begin to partner with the ministry. Everyone who is a member is not a partner. We have several categories, and I'm going to give them to you. The first thing we have, number one, there are players. Everybody say players. These are people who join with hidden agendas. They look like everybody else. But they have something other than the vision in mind. Judas was a disciple and looked like everyone else, but he planned to betray Jesus for a piece of money. Everybody say players. Players. But don't look down your road. Y'all just look at me. Amen. All right. Number two, we have parasites. Everybody say parasites. See, these people, and not only are these people in church that I'm talking about, but you will find these people in your lives. So not only are there players, but they are parasites. They are self-serving like the multitude. They followed Jesus for what they could get from him, a two-piece fish dinner. And when there was no more food, they went home. And you have to be careful about parasites because parasites will suck the life out of you. You got it. That's why I tell people I'm a spirit-led giver. You understand? Yeah, you know, I didn't finish my lesson about being naive in the early days, but, you know, I was just so excited about ministry. I'm helping people live a better life. Everybody, in my opinion, has a good heart. Everybody has integrity. I'm talking about Christian, you know, all Christian, you know, and somebody called me crying, you know, on a Tuesday, you know, and they needed some rent money. Now, the church don't have any money, so this is just me and my wife, you know, and they needed, I can't remember how many hundreds of dollars, you know, but rent's at least $800. And so, you know, so they crying because I thought something was wrong, like somebody died. You understand what I'm saying? So I gave them the money. You got it. And then the next month at the same time, they called again. And I gave them the money again. And the next month, they called the same time, and I gave them the money again. And then I realized, hold on, wait a minute. You got it. And so you got to be careful for parasites, all right? Then we have number three, which is predators. Everybody say predators. These are mutated parasites. After they couldn't get what they wanted, they leave, lie, and attempt to throw rocks. Everything was okay as long as you paid their light bill. Everything was okay as long as you let them sing their song. Everything was okay. Yeah, and you got to be careful about predators because, see, predators will turn on you when the spirit of resentment gets on them. Judas, if you notice in scripture, was okay until Jesus publicly rebuked him. Judas didn't give Jesus no problems. Just read the scripture. Like, you ought to read the Bible sometime. Like Judas, Judas gave Jesus no problem until Jesus publicly rebuked him. Matthew 26:16, this is right after Jesus publicly rebukes him. It says, and from that time he saw opportunity to betray him. And so, you know, in your life, it's unfortunate, but it's the people that turn on your lie are the people, some of the ones that you help the most. And people, you know, because somebody can't even, I just hurt so bad, it don't make any sense. That's because those are the people you love the most. Because if I didn't love you and you left, it wouldn't mean nothing. Okay, praise the Lord, I know what I'm talking about. All right, I don't need a clap, I'm just saying. Yeah, all right. And then there's number five. Wait a minute. Are we in order? Oh, number four. Okay, keep me straight. Okay, they're a little raspy. All right. Participated. Yes, sir. I did ask you to get me straight. I'm not going to ask that another Sunday, though. You're all right. Yes, sir. He like, Pastor, you asked it to keep you straight. We're just doing what you asked us to do. Oh, God, that's so funny. I love my church. These people, are y'all learning something?
Yes.
All right. These people have discomfort when they are asked to do something that seems too much. You got it. I come to church. I ain't serving on a dream team. I don't care what you say. I ain't serving on a dream team. You got it. I'm going to give my tithe. That big giving day they have in March, I ain't participating in that. I ain't doing that. The 70 were offended and said, "This is a hard saying." And they left and never followed Jesus from that point. And look what they lost because they decided not to follow Jesus because they had discomfort. I love that scripture because my sanctified imagination, I'm telling y'all, when I read the Bible, I put myself in the Bible. And like to me, like the characters, I make them come alive. Like I really do. I think that's why I love the Bible so much. And so like I see the 70 walking off disgruntled, right? And then I see Jesus turn into his disciples and say, "Will you go also?" Like I can see that. It's like I'm there. Like I'm standing next to Peter. You understand what I'm saying? And then like when he says, "Like where are we gonna go?" I'm like, "Yep, where are we gonna go? Well, we done seen the blind eyes open in the lame. What, where are we gonna go? You have the word to eternal life. The 7, they can do what they want to. Jesus, I'm here with you. You got it? We're gonna get dinner after this, but you know, I mean, I'm here with you, Jesus. I'm here with you, Jesus. Because Jesus, he took care of them, you know. You hang around the man of God, you're going to at least eat. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, my God. Let me stop. And then number 5, there are partners. Everybody say partners. Now, a partner is a person that connects to the ministry, that makes the vision personal to them to the degree that they give up their self, their service, and their substance with no hidden agendas. And so, I'm going to pick this up on Tuesday because this is right where I started at the 11 o'clock, and so this is a good place to stop. Everybody say, we are blessed, by association. Say it one more time. We're blessed, by association. All right, let me help you. I already said it in the beginning, but I'm just going to say it again. But this time, you'll know it so you can say amen. The disciples wouldn't have been who they were without Jesus. Amen. Timothy wouldn't have been the man of God, the pastor he was without Paul. Amen. Joshua wouldn't have been the man he was and be able to lead the people had it not been for the mentorship that he received from Moses. Amen. Elisha would have not been able to produce double the miracles had it not been for the grace and the mantle that fell off of Elijah onto Elisha. James MacIver would not be who he was if it had not been for the 3 men of God that were in my life that shaped me, but not only shaped me, corrected me when I needed correction. And whom the Lord loves. So if you ever get corrected, don't get so fast. Thank you telling me. No, slow down. Stop and think about, you know, okay, maybe I need to listen. Got it. And then if you see me as a pastor or a mentor, spiritual father, whatever it is that it is to you, you won't be the person you are without me. And that's how that works. Does that make sense?